What do trees often represent in the Bible? Are there two Israels? Was the first covenant with the children of Israel conditional? Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Was he upset because he was hungry and found no fruit on it? Or was there another reason? I want to know.
I want to welcome each and every one of you to this week's episode of The Doctrine of Christ with myself and Brother Jimmy Cooper. And we are so honored to do that because whether you know it or not, the doctrine of Christ is the most important thing in your life. And every week we're hearing from more and more of you that are coming to that great revelation and understanding. That's what it's all about. People coming home to Jesus. That's what's going to cause this end time move of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, how are you this week, Brother Jimmy?
I'm great. I couldn't be better.
Well, gee, that's almost scary.
Well, I could be better, I guess, if the Lord came back and got us.
Well, yeah, but I tell you what, if we're serving the Lord, it's going to be good. It's going to be exciting.
It's good. It is exciting.
People to lead boring lives, because I tell you what, serving the Lord is anything but boring, I guarantee you.
Well, no, a lot of people talk about the times we're going through and how it's scary and all this, but, you know, it might be a little bit, but it's kind of exciting, too, because that's what the Bible says is going to happen in the end times, and here we are witnessing it.
Yeah.
Maybe the beginning of it, you know?
I think we are, and I think maybe our study tonight might give us a little insight
on that. What do you got?
Well, we're going to talk about the fig tree.
All right.
And we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to just let the Word of God teach itself here. And let's go to Luke chapter 6, verses 43. This is so clear, and the Word of God really is clear. And a lot of times, you know, Jesus, he talks about the wheat, the tares, the sheep, the goats, the vine, the branches, the trees. These are all talking about the same thing. They're parables. They're similitudes. And a lot of people, they can't get it because they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. They're not born again. But these are so clear that those of the Spirit, we're going to get this. Now, and indeed, when the things Jesus taught were so profound that those that have an ear to hear, they're going to get it. It's just, they're going to know. Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Now, that's a very definitive statement. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Another very definitive statement. Have you ever seen an apple tree with a bad apple on it? And a lot of good apples?
I have.
We see this all the time, don't
we? Yeah, we see a little rotten one here and there.
Cherry trees, pear trees. So Jesus is obviously trying to push us to think spiritually. Mm. And this is where many people just don't have that capacity. But we're obviously speaking of something spiritual. We're speaking of spiritual trees here, if you will. In verse 44, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. So here's a, you know, precept is laid upon precept and line upon line. So we're going to start with this precept. Good trees, good fruit. Bad trees, bad fruit. You know, there's a line of demarcation there in the Spirit. And in the Word of God, Israel and Babylon and the Assyrian, they're referred to as trees. The Bible talks about the trees of Eden, these trees. Trees represent spiritual starting points, you know, and there's good trees and bad trees. And that's what we're going to look at here when we have the understanding of the fig tree. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. And this is the same teaching Jesus gave. He gave it, and it's not two versions of the same teaching. Jesus taught this twice, and one of these was recorded in Luke. And here on the Sermon on the Mount, he taught on the subject again, and it's got a little context here that is worth reading. In Matthew chapter 7, and let's begin in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now, Jesus is setting the context of the trees here in the context of false prophets, true prophecy, false prophecy. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They're going to be false prophets. They're going to look like sheep, but they're going to be bad trees. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So Jesus sets it in a context here. True prophecy, false prophecy. And there are some trees that are totally rotten. They look like sheep, but they're putting out poison. They're putting out poison. They're not capable of putting out good. Everything they put out is for the purpose of deception. Though it sound good, though it looks sheepy, it's not sheepy. It's just destruction. So we've got precept number one. We got good trees that can only put forth good fruit. We got bad trees that can only put forth bad fruit. There's no 50-50 here. It's one way or the other. In the spirit, it's either the spirit of God or it's the spirit of Antichrist. It's either the spirit of truth or it's the spirit of error. And we must be able to discern. Now, let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24. And we're going to read a text here. And this also is really easy. But the only reason people struggle with this is because it's going to go contrary to what everyone hears, but it's so easy, it's undeniable what the scripture's saying here. Now, Jeremiah 24, the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. The other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto Jeremiah, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Now, precept number one, you cannot get good figs off a bad fig tree, and you cannot get bad figs off a good fig tree. So here in Jeremiah, if we have a basket of good figs and a basket of bad figs, what does that force us to conclude? We have two fig trees.
I thought it was a trick question. I'm like,
no,
I'm afraid to answer that.
Yeah, it's so simple, it almost sounds like a trick, but no, it's real easy. Yeah. You know, a good tree cannot put forth bad figs, and a bad tree cannot put forth good figs. Now, here we got two baskets of figs, one good, one bad. Therefore, there's two trees. There's two trees. Mm-hmm. And to understand this whole fig tree Israel thing, we have to understand there's two trees. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 9. And verse 6, and we're going to go to another conclusion here and another precept. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 6, the scripture says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So we have an Israel after the flesh, and within that, we have a believing Israel. That's the true Israel of God. Hmm. Now, we have two fig trees. We have two Israels. Now, which fig tree, which Israel is the good fig tree? Now, that's just a no-brainer, isn't it?
The one with the good fruit?
That's not hard, is it? So, the Israel of faith within the genetic Israel, that's the good fig tree. And the genetic Israel without faith, that's the bad tree. Mm. That's the bad fig tree. We've got two. And if we understand that, this is all going to make perfect sense. But until we see the two trees, we're not really going to get this. Now, let's go back to Jeremiah 24, and we'll see how this comes down. In Jeremiah 24, we just read there where Jeremiah had his vision of the two baskets of figs. And by the way, that word naughty, you know, isn't that a cool word? Naughty. Jimmy, did your mom and dad ever say, Jimmy, you're just a naughty little boy. You're naughty. And let's look that word up. That's what I do.
I was probably called that a few times.
I got my dictionary here. I got my 1828 Webster's, and I look words up. Now, this is what it says. Evil principle, badness, wickedness, an evil principle, something with an evil principle within them. And all people are born with an evil principle and a fallen nature. But these people that are naughty, they are letting that evil principle drive them. And all they can be is naughty, you see. And until a person's born again, all they're going to do is fulfill that evil principle within them. They're naughty.
Well, that kind of answered a question I had last week. Was I don't understand why people just want to false teach every. You know what's the? And there, right there, it is. It's because they're naughty.
They're naughty. That's it. They're a naughty little fig. And you see, if you're not born again, the message of living holy and denying yourself and consecrating yourself to Christ, you don't want to hear that. You want to hear, well, I can live the way I want to, long as I do some kind of a facade of religious observance, I'm okay. I believe in Jesus, I'm all right. That's what the carnal man wants to hear. You know, that's what the evil principle wants to hear. Yeah. Now, the new man, we want to hear about drawing closer to God, seeking Him, denying ourselves. We like that stuff. Now, the other don't, and basically what the church in America is doing, they're preaching to a bunch of naughty little people that have itching ears that want to hear what them naughty little evil figs are telling them. Yeah. You know? It's just like going down every Sunday morning and get you a new bowl of figgy pudding, you know, as the old song says. Now, let's follow our figs out. Jeremiah 24 started out. What do you see, Jeremiah? Well, one basket of good figs, one basket of bad figs. They're naughty, very naughty. Can't do anything with them. Now, Jeremiah 24, let's pick it up in verse 4. Again, the word of the Lord came into me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again into this land. And after 70 years captivity in Babylon, we read of this in the books Ezra, Nehemiah, the prophets, Haggai, Malachi. They came back, rebuilt the second temple. Mm-hmm. And I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me. Good figs know the Lord. And before the cross, there was a remnant that knew him and loved him. They were looking forward to the Messiah that was to come. They were the minority.
Yeah.
The majority of the country, the religious system had gone after idols and mixing truth with their. But there was a remnant of good figs that knew the Lord. There always has been, there always will be, and they will always be in the minority. I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as for the evil figs, which cannot be, and you see, the good figs and the evil figs went into captivity, all of them together. The good and the evil, both figs went, but God distinguishes in judgment between good figs and bad figs.
Kind of like the wheat and the tares?
Yeah, like the wheat, the tares, the
they
vine,
grow
the branch,
together.
The sheep, the goats, it's the tares, it's the wheat, it's the vine, it's the branches, it's sheep, it's the goats. All same thing, yeah. All the same thing. As for the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach. Now listen to this. Does the Bible say this? Oh my, listen to these words. To be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. Those are very strong words, that they're going to be driven out and they're going to be a curse wherever they go.
Yeah.
Now, verses 39. Now let's read and it's a continuous text from Jeremiah 23, 39, and 40, the last two verses of 23 that go right into the fig discourse. Now, let's read these last two, and it speaks of Jerusalem. Now, it says here, therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Those are extremely strong words.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to understand them. They say what they say,
mm-hmm.
and they mean what they mean. And we're talking here to the bad fig tree. We're not talking to the good fig tree. You see, they both got carried away, but God distinguishes between the good figs and the bad figs. He's got a plan for both of them. This is the plan for the bad fig tree right here. Now, in Luke, I have said many times, because of the doctrine of Christ, and in Luke 21, beginning in verse 20, what Jesus said here, and I've said, I proclaim that judgment is coming to America. And I also proclaim that judgment is coming to Israel. We have said many times on the authority of the Word of God that Jerusalem will be invaded. I think that could happen very soon. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 21 and verse 20. And when ye see Jerusalem compassed with armies, this is our clue. You know, when we see this, you know, and it's going to happen. I think we're going to see this on the news for long. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. Get out of the city. Don't go into the city. Get out of it. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now, our preterist friends, they want to say, now, well, this was all fulfilled in AD 70, but Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, this will be the day when all things which are written may be fulfilled. This is going to start
the call. That's the difference right there, that all things will be fulfilled, because some things did get fulfilled that day, you know, and it was that Jerusalem was surrounded by armies and things like that, but not all of the scripture had been fulfilled just because of that one thing yet, right?
That's exactly right, and that's an inescapable truth. I don't see, and I know there are a lot of people that are intellectually brilliant that are preterists, but the simplicity of the statements of Christ are just against it, just like with pre-trib and all this stuff.
Well, you know. I used to read the Matthew 24 version of this passage. And I always thought he was talking about two things, because the disciples ask him two specific questions. The disciples ask, because they were just talking about the stones on top of each other, you know, how beautiful the temple was. And he says, hey, there's coming a time where not one stone's going to be left on top of the other. And so they ask him, tell us when that's going to happen, and tell us when the signs of the end of the age is, or when your return is. So they ask him two questions. And so when Jesus said that in the Matthew version of this, I've just always taken it as he was saying, when you see armies surrounding you, you know, the time's now, and get out of here, you know, go to the mountains and stuff. So, so you're saying that's not what he was talking about.
Well, yes, it's two things, and it's even three things.
Three.
This absolutely, and you know, we're going to look at the phrase later on, this generation.
Yeah.
Now, there was, in 586 BC, there was this generation that saw the prophetic pronouncements of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you know, when I say judgment's coming on American Jerusalem, boy, I tell you what, there are some people there, you know, they don't like that. They put Jeremiah in the dungeon.
Yeah.
They called him a traitor, and that generation was judged. Now, this generation, which was alive, that heard Christ, looked him in the eye, rejected him, that generation suffered a horrific judgment in 70 AD. Mm-hmm. Likewise, this generation, which sees the birth pangs that are prophesied by Christ, that generation also will see all things fulfilled. So it is most definitely the things that Jesus said directly applied to his listeners, many of whom would be alive in 70 AD when the nation was destroyed. That was a huge prophetic event. Christ prophesied it himself. You know, what? Not one stone upon another. It's coming down.
Yeah.
And they rejected him, and he went to the Mount of Olives, just like the Holy Spirit left the temple. There's an exact parallel in the book of Ezekiel. The Spirit of God, it come off the threshold, and it went to the Mount of Olives. The same way Jesus left the temple, went right to the Mount of Olives. 70 AD judgment was a precise parallel to 586 BC. Mm. And there's a future one coming too, of this generation that's going to see the birth pangs. And for anyone that has ears to hear and eyes to see, they're all over us.
Yeah, the Bible's amazing.
It is. And the way the Lord lays things out is so clear. And yet people today that have itching ears, and, you know, we get responses, you know, Jeremiah, you know, how dare you? We're going to put you in the dungeon. When the city fell, he was in the dungeon. And, you know, people today, well, now, how dare you? I mean, we're going to have our rebuilt temple. We're going to have our pre-trib rapture. We're going to have our millennial reign, for goodness sake. I mean, we've got our Israeli flag with the hexagram. The Rothschild money is backing us. We're going to have Rothschild Boulevard, and we'll have our gay pride parade on Rothschild Boulevard, and we've got our hexagram necklace on. We got a hexagram on our Bible cover. We're going to bake hexagram cookies and drink Kool-Aid and pray that Israel will never fall. But what does the Bible say in Romans 11 and 2? God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Now, why did Elijah make intercession to God against Israel? Why didn't Elijah pray, oh Lord, never let our country fall? You know, and I have no joy in people dying in wars,
right,
but I can't do anything but be honest to scripture. You know, Elijah didn't pray, we're the people of God, don't let us ever harm come to us, on. It says that he made intercession to God against Israel. Why? They were the bad fig tree. They were the bad fig tree. Now we see the good fig tree here. It goes on to say, Romans 11 and 3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Look at your neighbor and say, there's the good fig tree. We've always got the good fig tree. We got the bad fig tree. We got two fig trees, you say.
Yeah.
And when we understand there's two fig trees, this is just another very, very clear way to help us understand all of this. And it's very clear. It's very simple. And, you know, for people that would say today that the nation of Israel that arose in 1948 is the good fig tree, I would have to say, you know, a good fig tree doesn't put forth bad fruit. By your fruit, you know them. And that fruit's rotten. So they're not the good fig tree, obviously.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, and let's read chapter 9. And we're going to begin in about, let's see, Judges chapter 9. And let's just begin about verse 10. And the trees. Now see, we're the word of God again. Yeah, and I believe in interpreting the Bible literally for just what it says. But when you interpret the Bible for just what it says, you've got to understand symbolism, metaphor, similitude, allegory, because the Bible uses all of these and it forces us to understand it spiritually. Now, here's another one of these. In Judges chapter 9, verse 10, and the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? The fig tree said, I don't want to rule over you. I've got something more important to do than rule over you. I don't want to be king. I don't want to be president. What did Jesus say in John chapter 6 and verse 15? And he was the good fig tree, by the way. He is the vine, we're the branches, all that. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He ran from them, you know. And here we see the same thing, the same spiritual truth being taught in the book of Judges. Come rule over us, fig tree. Nah, I'm the fig tree. I don't do that. I'm producing fruit, you see. I don't want to be president. Now, reading on here in verse 12, then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. Now the bramble, he'll do it. The bramble, the fig tree won't do it. The vine won't do it. They got better things to do. But now the bramble, he'll be king. He'll be president. He'll rule you. Just submit to me. I'll do it. Now let's look a word up again. Let's look that word bramble up. Because we want to know just what we're talking about here. And a bramble, we'll go back to our 1828 Webster's. And it says bramble, armed with prickles. Hence, in common language, any rough, prickly shrub. He's a rough guy. He's prickly. He's rough. He'll poke you if you get too close to him. He can, you know, he's a politician. You know, he wants to be king.
Yeah.
The fruit, the vine and the fig tree, nah, no interest there. No interest there. And there's just a lot of spiritual lessons there in there. Now, let's go to let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 43. And this is exactly what this is talking about. Now, Hear Israel. You know, fig tree, rule over us. Nah. Vine, nah. Bramble, yeah. Okay, we'll take the bramble. Now, this is just another spiritual application of what the fig tree taught in John chapter 5 and verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. That's prophecy, isn't it? That's a prophecy. Israel, the Bible says Jesus came into his own received him not, but there's one they will receive, that one that will receive. And I've read several times when I read this statement by Alfred Edersham in The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, just a simple statement, and he elaborates this on a lot in this writing, but he said, thus the Messiah of Judaism is the Antichrist of the Gospels. This was said by a very, very learned Jewish man whose father was the greatest Jewish educator, not a Christian, but just a Jewish educator. Mm-hmm. His son Alfred was converted, and he could see this. And it's so true. The people in the 1948 reconstituted Israel, they are the bad fig tree, and they're looking for the Messiah. And it will be the beast of Revelation 13. And there's, when you just think about it, there's really no other conclusion that we can come to.
Don't they say that their Messiah is actually a human being that becomes a God-like, not God come down in flesh, but a human? Seems like that's yes. Something the Talmud says.
Yes. And it's very much the same as what we would hear in Christian Science, New Age, and Freemasonry, Gnosticism, Kabbalah, take your pick, that the Christ, the anointing, Jesus was just a man that was really greatly anointed, and to the place of, he was called an avatar in the New Age. And there a Messiah will be the same way. He will just be a man that is anointed, you know, and he'll say, you know, I'm the Christ. Right. And there's a guy in Israel now that's claiming to be the Christ and the Messiah. And he's getting quite a bit of traction. We've talked about him a few times on the Midnight Ride, and it's getting a little bit scary because many rabbis are just fawning over this guy. So we need
I think I saw some. I watched a video about that not too long ago. It may have been Midnight Ride.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to have to keep an eye on that. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 21. Now, let's play a game. Let's play good fig tree, bad fig tree. Now, let's go to Matthew 21. And Matthew chapter 21 and verse 19. And the text says here, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Good fig tree, bad fig tree. It's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're talking about the bad fig tree.
It looked good from a distance, obviously. It had green leaves on it.
And everybody, why did you curse that tree? Why? It looked like a sheep, not a ravening wolf, and you cursed it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the bad fig tree. That's why it's doing nothing but producing poison to fool people. Mm. Now, let's go down to verse 33. And this is so clear that I don't see how, and, you know, nobody that's born again is going to miss this. It's too clear. Let's go to Matthew 21, and let's just start in verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of his fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance." We're going to show you that prophetically from the Torah in just a moment. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? They shall say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons." Everybody knows what that means.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
We just don't want to believe it, you know, because this goes against that which is popular, but it's so clear. Hmm. You know what this is. And here it says, he's going to destroy those wicked husbandmen and let the vineyard out unto others. We're going to see who that is real quick. In Matthew chapter 21, let's just jump down to verse 43. "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." So no longer is Israel the nation of God. And that sets people's hair on fire, but it's clearly the doctrine of Christ.
And they weren't then in that day already.
No, they were the bad fig tree. Yeah. They were the bad fig tree. And what nation is it? And this is so clear in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's read in verse 9 and 10. "But ye," speaking to the Christians, "but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation." You see, we're a holy nation, even though we're, you know, there's that Doctors Without Borders, we're kind of the nation without borders. "A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God." We are now, as believers in Christ, the nation of God and the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, this passage we just read, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, this is also a quotation of a very important text in the book of Exodus. And let's look at this in Exodus 19. Verses 5 and 6. "Now, therefore, if," now there's that big word if, and how many times are we told, and you know, people in dispensationalism, they will argue that the covenant was unconditional. You know, there are people in the Hebrew Messianic movement, they'll say that Levitical priesthood was unconditional, and they'll, you know, just get red in the face and argue that it's not pass away. But there's a big word here we don't want to miss. This is obviously a conditional promise. "Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then," if and then, "ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine." And this is the precise language that Peter used in 2, 9, and 10. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So obvious. If you do, you will be. Now, Peter says, no, you didn't. The believers are. So clear. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is taken away from you. Just like in the parable, what's the owner of the vineyard going to do? Well, he's going to kill them wicked husband. They killed his son. He's going to kill him, and he's going to let that vineyard out to someone else, you see. And that's real clear. Well, I want to read a couple more Old Testament texts that relate to this, just so the people will have the scriptures. Let's look at Numbers 14, verses 12 and 13. And the text says here, and this is Moses. Moses and the father at the time of Moses. He was ready to disinherit them. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 12, it says, I will smite them with the pestilence. And here's that word, disinherit them. And will make of thee a greater nation. You see, right then, the father was ready to disinherit genetic Israel and make a nation of believing Moses. His heart was to have an Israel of faith, not an Israel of rebellion. Because of the intercession of Moses, that was postponed.
Yeah.
But when they killed the son, that's it. They said, and remember the language of the parable, we will kill the son and seize his inheritance. Not so. You know, and what was in the father's heart to do here, the only thing stopped it was Moses' intercession. When they killed his son, that's it. Going to kill you guys, and we're going to let that vineyard out to someone else. Now, another text in Deuteronomy 31:29. Moses said, for I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Now, let's play a little more good fig tree, bad fig tree. Let's go to the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, and we'll just see if this is good fig tree, bad fig tree, what everybody thinks. Now, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. And I just want to say to all of our dispensational friends, this isn't the rapture. This is coming away into God's presence. You know, bless their hearts, they can find the rapture in a plate of spaghetti. I know when I read them words come away, they're going to think, woo! You know, but we're talking about coming away into the presence of the Lord. Let's read it.
Yeah.
My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. That sounds to me like a pretty good fig tree.
It does.
And in beautiful poetic language. And here again, we're using prophetic metaphors. You know, and the more that I'm able to get out and see things grow and to be able to grow things, it's so wonderful, and the animals and stuff. And it, you know, we have so many fresh flowers now, and we have friends that bring us flowers, and just so wonderful,
yeah.
You know, and it's just wonderful. And the kingdom of God, and you know, he's saying, come away, you know, there's a garden. And there's trees up in the third heaven, you know, come away, you know, the fig tree's blooming, you know, come on. And it's a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God as a good fig tree putting forth its leaves. This is a good fig tree.
Yeah.
Now, let's look here, and let's go to Matthew 24, and let's look at verse 32. Now, we'll see if this is a good fig tree or bad fig tree. And we'll just see. We can vote. We can have a vote here. We can let everybody listening vote. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Well, what do we think? Good fig tree, bad fig tree? Now, to me, this sounds a lot like the language we saw in the Song of Solomon back
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
A lot of similarities. Now, this sounds to me like good fig tree.
It does.
Now, what we need to understand is as this generation, we're going to see both fig trees. We, in 1948, we saw Israel reestablish as a nation. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And if we look at what Jesus said, that's a bad fig tree. That's a bad fig tree, obviously, because it's bringing forth bad fruit. And also, we're going to see the good fig tree. Now, people aren't looking for the good fig tree, but I think that a lot of our listeners out there right now are buds on that good fig tree.
Amen.
They're ready to bloom.
Yep.
You see, we're going to have the good fig tree bloom, and that's the part of this that so many people are missing. They, number one, they think that the 1948 fig tree is the good fig tree, and it's not. And when they, all they can see is that physical Israel, and they can't see the good fig tree beginning to bloom, but it is. There are people, I mean, this is so clear, how can people not figure it out?
Yeah.
I mean, how can people miss this? The Spirit of God is going to teach this to people. People are going to be coming back to Jesus. They are right now. The fig tree is blooming. Now, when we read this text, what's the obvious question that comes up? How long is generation?
Right. Yeah.
How long is generation? And of course, Hal Lindsey, in the late great Planet Earth, he said that a generation is 40 years. Israel came a nation 1948, add 40 years, 1988, subtract 7 years for the Great Tribulation, 1981, it was all over. Well, obviously, this was a false prophecy, you know, as all the bad fig tree can do. You know, Matthew 7:15, Jesus likened the whole fig tree episode to false prophets. And this false prophecy, that the whole false prophetic narrative that identifies genetic Israel as the good fig tree, it's obviously so wrong. All it can do is produce bad fruit. It's all it can do.
Yeah. I've seen generations be listed anywhere from 20 years to 40 years to 70 years. How do they figure that?
Everybody always says, well, we just don't know.
We just don't know.
Is that true? That's a porky. We can't know. That's porky. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15 and we'll see if we can know. Jimmy, I want to know. Do you want to know?
I want to know.
I want to know too. I mean, everyone's telling me that we can't know how long a generation is. Well, I want to know, is that true or is that a porky?
I want to be a know-it-all. In a
good
way.
Well, I tell you what, we can know a few things. Well, let's see if we can figure this big mystery out. You know, a lot of these things that people make such a big deal out of, right in our Bible. Let's see if this is one of them.
Yeah.
Let's go to generation. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, and let's begin in verse 13. Genesis 15, 13. And we'll just read it slow so even I can understand it. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. 400. All right, let's read on. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither. Now, wait a minute. If they're going to be afflicted 400 years, and if they're going to come forth in the fourth generation, can we divide 400 by 4 and do the math and a generation be 100 years?
That's what it sounds like.
I'd say that's probably pretty close to true, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I think we can biblically define a generation as 100 years. That's the way the Bible defines it. And I bet if we let Scripture interpret Scripture, that we're going to be pretty safe there. And the Bible does define a generation as 100 years. And so, you know, we can look, I would say, and of course, the 1948 Israel was not the good fig tree, but I mean, here again, that was a huge prophetic event. And what that is, we could show in another whole prophetic study that this is the restoration of Babylon. It's what it is. It's it was prophesied. We can even play with some numbers in Daniel and get that, but that's way beyond the scope of what we can do. But yeah, so we could understand that by 2048, things could get real dicey here on the old flat earth we live on. And I think that's probably a pretty safe statement to make. So we can look for things to just continue to heat up here.
Yeah.
Now, let's play a little more, just a little bit more, good fig tree, bad fig tree. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. And now we've identified the bad fig tree. I mean, we know who the bad fig tree is. We know who the good fig tree is.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, now let's go to Matthew 24 and let's look at verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's bad fig tree. So where's the good fig tree? Let's see if we can find a little good fig tree in this. Let's go to verses 13 and 14 here, Matthew 24. It says here, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So while the bad fig tree is sending out false prophecy, and of course we can see it so clear now, the people that are saying that genetic Israel is the good fig tree, and we've got the dispensationalist, and we've got the biggest part of the Messianic Hebrew root movement. They're all on board with this. They're nothing but false prophets. They're the whole thrust of this false prophetic narrative and of this false deception. Mm-hmm. So people, while they're doing all of that, the people with faith in Christ, we're going to be enduring. We're going to be keep believing. We're going to focus on him. We're going to believe the doctrine of Christ. And verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. You see, the good fig tree is going to bloom, and we're going to preach the real gospel. We're not going to preach this, raise your hand and you're nothing you ever do can ever send you to hell if you just say Jesus is Lord and all this baloney that these people are putting out, these porkies. It's just the porky gospel. But we're going to be saying, for all those that will humbly repent of their sin, turn to Christ with all your heart, believe in his death upon the cross as payment for your sin debt, you will be born again. And the shackles will fall off of your feet, the scales off of your eyes, and you're going to be able to read the Bible because it's really just plain as day. Mm-hmm. It's right in front of us. But the people that are running the religious establishment, they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. They're not capable of understanding what we're saying because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not born again. They have no capacity. And it's just the same as it was in the days of Christ with that generation. Mm-hmm. Now, let's read a text here, and I think we'll close with this, but this is what we really need to emphasize, because there's always, you hear about Israel's the fig tree, and Israel is the fig tree. But they say now, Matthew 24, now that fig tree's Israel. Well, how about Matthew 21, where the fig tree is cursed? Now, that's not the fig tree. Now that's not the fig tree. Matthew 24, that's the fig tree. But this ain't the fig tree here, you see, because our fig tree's never going to be judged. Our fig tree isn't cursed. You see, it's so inconsistent. It's so nonsensical. It's so hypocritical, and it's just dishonest handling of the word of God. It's deceitful, wicked, corrupt handling of God's word. And it's so plain that people are seeing it. They're seeing that, you know, they're being lied to.
Yeah.
You know, they're being lied to, and the people that are teaching it, they might be so deceived, they don't even know they're lying. That doesn't make any difference. You know, believing a lie is going to bring the same end result, whether it's a well-intended lie or not. Now, let's close with Isaiah chapter 60, because this is what should get us excited. This is what's getting me excited in seeing the things that people are being saved, they're being born again, the response we're having of people that are coming back to Jesus is just humbling.
Yeah.
It's humbling and it's exciting. Now, this is what the Bible says. Now, this is a good fig tree passage. It says in Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine. Now, this is talking to the good fig tree. And I believe that many, many, many of our listeners out there on the DOC, there are little buds on that fig tree.
Yep.
Here you go, figs. This is for you, little buds. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. You know, you're not the light, but your light's come. It's here. So just get up and let the light shine in you. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. That's the bad fig tree. Just like Jesus said, false prophets, false Christ. But arise, shine, your light's come, good fig tree. And gross darkness, the people that claim to know Christ in churches are in fact, for the most part, just covered with gross darkness. They can't hear the words Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Don't worry about the darkness all over the earth, all the craziness that's going on. Don't worry about the gross darkness on the people that say they know you, because little buds, the glory of God's going to rise on you. It's not that we're something great, but we're just going to believe him and we're going to let the glory of God rise and shine on us. And I've interrupted. I'm just going to read it all again at once. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a harvest. We're going to preach the gospel to the entire world. There's going to be a harvest. And the good fig tree is budding. With all of my heart.